Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. We're here to continue our series on UFAs. We have another guest today joining us to give his favorite UFA, and that's Matt Ross. Matt, how you doing?
Ken, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
All right. You may know him as Kid Rock 20. A lot of his great questions that we've answered on various shows. Very frequent contributor in that regard. And his first time on the show, I'm sure he's going to be great. Matt, who's your guy?
All right, Ken. So my guy is Alaric Jackson. So Alaric Jackson has been on the Rams for the past few years, I believe the past 4 years. He attended college at Iowa. So a good, offensive lineman, factory, essentially, and is originally from Canada. So in high school, he hadn't even played football. He was a basketball player, and in his junior year, switched to playing football. And ultimately was able to get a scholarship to go play with Iowa. So he redshirted his freshman season. After that, he was named as a freshman All-American. The next season, his redshirt sophomore season, he was suspended briefly for violating team rules, which I believe also happened when he was with the Rams. Mm-hmm. But he did start the final 12 games of the season, and he was named second team All Big Ten. And then his redshirt junior year, he missed 3 games due to injury, but was third team All Big Ten by the end of the season. And as a redshirt senior, he was first team All Big Ten and second team All American. So I like the fact that he comes from the Iowa pedigree as a left tackle. I like that he has a basketball background. You know, you always talk about how you want your guards to be shaped, with a thicker lower trunk, and, you want your tackles to be a bit more athletic, and having that basketball frame, I certainly think helps. But that's the background on Alaric from a high school and college perspective. He has played in increasingly more games as he's been with the Rams. So in 21, he played sparingly, played a few snaps. I think he played 60 snaps in 21 on offense, also played some special team snaps, but then played a little over 400 snaps in 22, close to 1,000 snaps in 23, and then close to 900 snaps in 24. And as I mentioned before, something that jumps out was that in 24, he was suspended, I think at the beginning of the year, for violating the personal conduct policy. And from what I read, Sean McVay didn't want to get into the details, right? As any good coach, you don't want to, kind of spill the beans on your team. But he did admit that his actions were selfish. So maybe some self-awareness there.
Yeah, the league was involved, and neither the team nor the league was specific about what the personal conduct policy was. Obviously, the Ravens would have questions about that if there was domestic violence included, but I don't think that was likely the case with a 2-game suspension. I think it would have been worse than if it were some sort of domestic violence issue. But he did something stupid, and it caused him to be lost to the Rams for 2 games.
Right, and lost 2 paychecks, right, which hurts right when you're 25, 26 years old, right?
Sure. At any age, I think it probably hurts in terms of losing 2 NFL paychecks. So, but there's no doubt about his pedigree or his size. By the way, this is funny. I'm looking at PFF here. It lists him at 6'7", 285. This guy doesn't weigh 285. He weighs about 345. He's enormous. He's 6'7", and is a an enormous man. So I don't know where they got that weight from. Maybe out of the Iowa Hawkeyes freshman yearbook or whatever.
Maybe it was his birth weight.
Yeah. I hope not, but you never know. But definitely one of the truly fine combination blockers, meaning combination blocks mean something else, of course, but pass blocking or run blocking that it gives you. Would be a big swing, I think. And I know this personal conduct thing has a lot of lists of him lower in terms of his, free agency pedigree. For instance, PFF had him at, I think, somewhere in the 40s, and they had Trey Smith, for example, at number 2.
Right.
Which was surprising to me.
Right. And the Athletic had Ronnie Stanley as the third overall free agent, and they had Alaric at 39. So, you know, is there an opportunity? Obviously, we want Ronnie signed, right? So Ronnie's the elephant in the room for the offseason. He's really going to drive a lot of the plans with how much money do they have in upcoming in the future, and where they really allocate the precious few dollars that they have remaining. And he also happens to play one of the absolute most important positions, right, outside of Lamar Jackson. Left tackle is certainly right up there at the top. So figuring out what we do here is obviously paramount, and based off what EDC said today at the combine, definitely seems like they want to re-sign him. But my fear, Ken, is with Ronnie, there are some teams that have an egregious amount of cap space.
Uh-huh.
And if I'm Ronnie, and, you know, it's kind of hard to narrow down or pinpoint the market value, right? Because you've got the number of years and you have Ronnie's age and injury history. So I think it's difficult to speculate, although it's fun to. One of the things I worry about is, you know, say EDC picks a number that he thinks is Ronnie's value. He might be trying to get a hometown discount, maybe to the tune of $1 million, maybe $2 million a year, but that's not going to be easy to get. But then what you have EDC peg as his market value, you might have another team like the Commanders or one of these other teams with a ton of cap space come in and say, you know, I've got millions to play with this year. I can only get so many people in here. If I can bring in a very solid, I wouldn't say elite, but a very solid left tackle, I'm willing to pay market value AAV plus $3 or $4 million, because yep, getting a piece plugged in on my offensive line is that important. So that's my fear, is I think some people are a little bit hung up on the hometown discount. I'm more worried about the other players in the market and how much more above market are they going to go. And, you know, as you saw, I believe it was last week, they announced that the salary cap was going to be, what was it, like roughly $7 million higher, give or take, maybe a little more, maybe a little less, but roughly $7 million more. That's just more money that some teams, I'm not even sure if they're going to be able to spend it, right? So they're really going to be hunting hard for some of these good players.
Yeah, in terms of marginal dollars, or the last poker chip often you have in a tournament is worth more than any other chip that you have because it keeps you alive. The last dollars of cap space are worth more. So it was actually a good deal for the Ravens to have a cap increase, but it does certainly inflate what salaries will be potentially out there for top name free agents. I hope Ronnie values being with a winning organization, being with the Ravens, you know, the stability of playing with Lamar Jackson and being with an organization he loves, perhaps even the long-term future of what it means. Because if he signs this contract with the Ravens, it almost certainly means he's going into the Ring of Honor. I would think that he's not a sure thing out right now to make it based on it's not poor performance. That's not the right word, but the injury history he had over his second contract is not a good one. If he were to sign this one, I think he certainly has been an enormous contributor to the Lamar Jackson era, as well as before that, of course. And I think he's clearly in the Ring of Honor. Whereas Mark Andrews, on the other hand, I think is already in the Ring of Honor, whether he plays another down for the Ravens or not.
Yeah, certainly agree. And I would, you know, it's hard to say that you want to move on from Stanley. You know, you get to the point where if you're thinking emotionally and not logically, right, which, you know, for some of us, you're thinking more one side or the other, you really want to win a ring with this group of guys. And you really want to try to bring home that ring for that core that Ronnie's certainly a part of. But when you take the emotional piece out of it, and then you go to the logistics, the nuts and bolts of the salary cap, and it, not only the salary cap, the roster only has so many roster spots on it. So, you know, you need to really value that. And EDC does. Clearly all of, you know, most of the moves he makes, almost all the moves he makes, you can see what he truly values. And, you know, I wonder if moving off of Ronnie, is this a bit too soon at the age of 31 with, you know, a bit of an injury history? Or, you know, could he really give us another two or three, maybe four more solid years, even if you're looking at, you know, how you would grade it at maybe like C+ to B- play, right? That would be supremely valuable for a team with Lamar. I guess my question for you, Ken, when it comes to Ronnie and Alaric Jackson here, Do you feel any sort of need to get younger or desire to get younger and to move to someone like Alaric, who would be, I think he's turning 27 in July this summer. Do you feel more the need to go bold and move on from someone like Ronnie? Or do you think that Ronnie fits in well enough with the offense? He knows what we're doing. He knows Lamar, the bump pressure Lamar plays well off of.
That's right? A good point.
So with that being said, is Ronnie better just because he fits in the offense and we know what he's doing? Or do we try to, like you said, maybe take a big swing, go bolder, get younger, and maybe bring in someone who not only is a pretty good pass blocker, but would, I think would be a step up in the run blocking direction?
Right. So I don't know if Alaric Jackson gives you anything close to the same kind of athleticism that Ronnie Stanley gives you in level two when he's, when Ronnie Stanley is healthy. Okay. So Alaric Jackson certainly is, I think, a bigger, more physical offensive lineman in a lot of ways. Stanley's got, you know, some length as an advantage, but Alaric Jackson has played well with the length he's at. He's, you know, 32.5 inch, which would normally be that. I wouldn't look for that kind of a player in the draft. It's very unusually short arms for a guy his height.
Because you're usually looking 34, right?
34 and up at left tackle. Yeah. So anyway, with Alaric Jackson, he's played well at the NFL level, and I'd be very happy to get him. I think, you know, getting 4 or 5 years younger at the position, I guess it's four, is exciting in terms of the contract value. On the other hand, I think it's just my feeling, Alaric Jackson is going to be much more expensive than Ronnie Stanley. We'll see if it's an extra, you know, $6 million a year or something that somebody ends up paying him. I'm having trouble assimilating or reconciling how he's rated among all, you know, free agents versus what I think his market value is likely to be. So I guess we'll see this play out. But you mentioned good things about Ronnie. Ronnie is certainly fits very well, specifically with Lamar Jackson, in terms of a guy who gives ground in exchange for mirroring very well. And that has often led to bumps, but not, you know, violent takedowns of Lamar from that blind side. And Lamar really deals well with proximity pressure and getting bumped and moving within the pocket. As long as he's not getting thrown to the ground, it's a good thing. So I think it is the right player at the right price. I would expect to pay less for Ronnie Stanley. If they were the same price, I'd probably take Alaric Jackson.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing too, Ken. You know, through looking and doing some research and looking at different sites, it seems like Ronnie is rated very highly across the board. Mm-hmm. And it seems like Alaric is buried a little bit in there. And I wonder if you can get a little bit of efficiency with the fact that he's not as big a name. He's had some issues with suspensions, both at Iowa and in LA. You know, is there a way to get him a bit cheaper? I would think that with all of the smart people analyzing all the film and all the tape, it's pretty hard to slip through the ranks, especially as a left tackle. You know what I mean? Like, that's probably wishful thinking. Oh, this very solid 26, 27 year old left tackle is going to slip through everyone's scouting and going to be able to come to us for a great price. Probably doesn't seem all that realistic.
Yep.
I just am very hesitant to overpay for Ronnie. And, you know, like you said, it's right player, right price. You really can't get married to one player versus the other. You need to see how the market shakes out. I will say this team is good enough, you know, where you could almost run it back again and have a really darn good team. I mean, you could, right? That could have a really good chance at competing. I think they were one of the best teams ever if you look at, you know, DVOA and some of the historic metrics and such. More concerned about, you know, signing some of the folks like Travis Jones, Isaiah Likely, you know, et cetera, longer term. But in the short term, Ronnie at left tackle is truly that big hole that we have.
Right.
I'm not very thrilled about going into the year without any of that and saying, okay, we're going to move Roger to left tackle and we're going to draft a right tackle or maybe try to pick someone up off the scrap heap. I don't really want to take a step back from an offensive line play perspective. And so, you know, is it that right player, right price? You know, could we get him there? The question for you, Ken, is my thought without actually crunching some of the numbers behind it is that Lamar's play is so incredible that the players around him all grade higher than if you were just to place a league average, you know, 15th ranked quarterback, maybe like a Kirk Cousins or something back there.
Yeah.
Does Ronnie benefit significantly from the fact that Lamar is the quarterback and is so mobile? And it not only mobile, but people are scared of him running, right? So people aren't always rushing him as much, more just trying to contain him. Does Ronnie get overrated by being on the Ravens? Whereas someone like Alaric Jackson coming to the Ravens, could he almost be better than he has been to date by moving to a team like the Ravens with so much talent and Lamar?
Yeah, very, very valid point. I mean, Stanley has done well in terms of his sack and quarterback hit numbers in particular, in part because Lamar doesn't take a lot of sacks and doesn't take a lot of quarterback hits. He's given up a lot of pressure. And in 2024 in particular, Ronnie gave up, I have him for 40 pressures. Now, my definition is more strict than PFF, so I don't know what PFF has. I'm not looking at right now, but let's compare. I'll bring it up real quick here.
Yeah, the Athletic, while you're looking that up, Ken, says that Stanley gave up 35 pressures.
Okay.
Which, again, that's their definition, you know, not as strict as yours. And they say that in 14 games, Alaric gave up 22 pressures. So they had Alaric at a 4.7% pressure rate, and they had Ronnie at a 6.5% pressure rate.
Okay, so they have 34 pressures for Ronnie Jackson on PFF. So there's all of us are similar. That includes, by the way, the wild card and divisional game for both of our numbers. I don't know if that's true for the numbers you quoted, whether it was it
the Athletic numbers. Yeah.
Okay. They have, now this is where we differ. They have them only for four quarterback hits. I assign them differently, including fractional responsibility for a quarterback hit that his pressure initiates, but somebody else gets the takedown. I have him for 6.33 quarterback hits, so 6 1/3. And again, I have no restriction on how I fractionally assign a single quarterback hit, but the single quarterback hit, the fractional assignments will all add up to one, if that makes sense. And then for sacks, PFF has them for only two. They're always ridiculously low on sacks. I have them for 5 1/6. So I have them for full sacks against the Giants, against Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, 1 2/3. You know, I've got more sacks assigned. They also have zero for Linderbaum, and I have 3 and change, including a couple of bad snaps that ended up being aborted plays that were effectively, they weren't actually sacks, but they were losses of 4 to 7 yards that were Linderbaum's fault.
Right.
So anyway, with Stanley, I have him for more pressure. I have him for a little bit lower grade overall than I think PFF would otherwise have him for. But it's not that I don't love who Ronnie Stanley is as a player. Ronnie Stanley fits extremely well with the Baltimore Ravens. And I think more than that, what we saw from him in terms of his commitment to being healthy this last year was really a huge step forward. In particular, really showed up in camp when he was late to the podium by probably 30 minutes twice. You know, because he has a routine after practice that he goes through. And, you know, as a fan and analyst, I really value that a lot more than the chance to interview
him. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that definitely makes sense. I think that it's so hard to move on from Ronnie, but it might be something that you have to do. Right player, right price. It's funny when you mentioned Linderbaum, I've kind of gone back and forth with you on Twitter a little bit. I think we maybe share similar opinions. Great, great player. I just don't think Linderbaum's an elite player. And I feel like he struggles against big, powerful defensive tackles. You could say everyone does. But I still hesitate to, if I'm thinking Ronnie Stanley versus Alaric Jackson, if I'm thinking the offensive line, I'm thinking the future and where we allocate the dollars, right? The finite dollars that we have. I'm really struggling to see if Linderbaum is probably going to be 17 to 20 million is probably going to be his AAV for market value, maybe 15 to 20.
Yeah. I'd hope a little bit lower. I mean, I think 4 at 64 is the number I'd be comfortable with.
Right.
But if he really wants 20 million, I mean, first of all, you can't, there's no opportunity to give Linderbaum the fifth year option because it's 25.8 million is
yeah,
the
no
highest
way.
Single value in the entire 2022 draft class, even higher than Hamilton. Hamilton is the sixth highest, and Linderbaum is the absolute highest because he's gonna be grouped in with left tackles in terms of the payment. So you can't give him the fifth year option. But the effect of that is that if you don't sign him by May 2nd, you have to give him some very bad news.
Right.
And then with every week of the season that passes, his leverage increases dramatically. Of course, if you give him the $25.8 million guarantee for 2026 on May 2nd, then his leverage tremendously increases in the negotiation as well. Mm-hmm. But he might say, "Well, you know, I could play 1 year at $25.8 million, and then I'll hit free agency." Neither way is a. Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious high potency gummies, top shelf flower, home baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary. You can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Is a good solution, but the Ravens now are in a sign or let him walk mode with Tyler Linderbaum. They have to sign him by May 2nd. He's got to come at the right price. And by the way, Matt, both Voss and I agree on that. We don't agree on everything, but you know, you've contributed a number of questions to that show. He says, "I'm not breaking the bank for Linderbaum either." And the sad thing about it is if Linderbaum had repeated his pass blocking year from 2023, then I'd say, yeah, I'm fine with anything up to maybe 19 or 20 million. Mm-hmm. But he didn't. He took a step back. And that honestly, PFF just has him way overrated in what they do. I like him. He's a good lineman, and he might have suffered from the fact that he's got Falele and McCary playing on either side of him. Could take a step forward if the Ravens draft a really good guard, or, you know, Falele matures a year, because I think he's got the job at right guard. But he's got to improve his own pass blocking to really get the elite value.
Yeah, and if I'm looking down the line, because, you know, this decision at left tackle here, it affects down the line for the whole offensive line. If we're going into the future where we can't lock in a tackle like Ronnie or Lark Jackson, and then we spend a bunch of money on Linderbaum, say we spend $17 million a year or something on Linderbaum, I don't feel that good about it. Just thinking about that. I just don't know. I mean, you want a good center, you want good guards, you want good tackles. I think there's been debates as to whether or not you want even players where everyone's at least an average lineman versus having, you know, elite players at like left tackle, but then a really bad guard next to him, right? There's probably different schools of thought. And I'd be curious to hear what you think about that. But I think I'd be pretty scared if in the future we've got, you know, maybe not 4 for 64, but it's 4 for 72 or for 74. Mm-hmm. And we don't have a left tackle locked up. You're trying to move Roger over, plug in the right tackle spot. That would make me feel very uncomfortable going in the season. What about you?
Yeah, not having left tackle set with Ronnie Stanley or with a big name free agent, whoever basically would take Ronnie Stanley's money, maybe even plus a little, would bother me tremendously. I think that Rosengarten, I didn't get a good enough read on who he is as a pass blocker this year, largely because of all the help he was given to make a good judgment about whether he's ready. His anchor is questionable. Mm-hmm. That was the big question coming out of us. Not his mirror. His mirror is good. Mm-hmm. It's his anchor and the ability to block over there. That becomes paramount on that left side. And if opponents are continually getting under his pad or being too quick for him because he's too worried about them getting under his pads, then obviously that's a guy you can't have over on that side. Not saying he can't get there. I'm already surprised by how good he's been as a rookie at right tackle, but we didn't get the greatest read on him because of what happened.
Yeah, and you have to hope he can put on a little beef in the offseason, right? Everyone kind of jokes about that, right? You get the whole offseason to do it. So hopefully he can build on that anchor. But I don't know if he's ever going to get to be a player with an impressive anchor. If he can just be, kind of get it in the middle and be able to use his, you know, quick feet and mirroring ability to play, hopefully he'll be able to play left or right at that point. So Ken, I guess I would say, whether it's Alaric Jackson, whether it's Ronnie Stanley, how aggressive are you willing to get from a contract perspective to lock someone up, right?
You're the guest. You brought up Alaric Jackson. You go first. What do you think is the number you're willing to go on Alaric Jackson? And let's assume it's going to be maybe a 4-year deal.
Yeah, that's a good point. So I've been trying to think about this. We were talking earlier, or maybe this past week, and I think my initial guess was just far too low, judging by the quality that I think he is. And again, like I said, I don't think there's any diamonds in the rough. I do think people are going to know where he is. Orlando Brown got 4 for $64 from the Bengals. That's an AAV of 16. He signed that deal when he was 26. Do you think something like 4 for $70 would fly here, or is that too pricey for you? Or do you think that doesn't even come close to getting what he needs?
I think it's too low. I think Ronnie Stanley will be something like 3 for right around $60. I think mm-hmm. we're looking at Alaric Jackson being something like 4 for $85 to $90. So I think that's the range we're talking about. Now, if they somehow can get him cheaper because the market doesn't believe in him because of the suspension, because of whatever, fantastic. And I think they also need to satisfy themselves, because we're talking about him as if the Ravens even would sign him. The Ravens may have blackballed him already. They may have already said he doesn't fit our mold because, look, he's got some issue that we've had made a hard stance on, whether it's, you know, some sexual thing or some mm-hmm. Domestic violence issue or whatever. We can't have that on our team right now. And that could well be the case. I mean, mm-hmm. an undisclosed personal conduct violation is pretty severe if the league is involved. If it was done by the team and the team said, hey, look, your work ethic isn't what we want it to be, well, I think the Ravens then have to put them through their own strainer and decide, can we fix this guy? Has he learned his lesson? What did he take from the experience? You know, things like that. That would be fine. But if it's something else and it's undisclosed as it is right now, I think that's much more serious potentially. So we'll have to see what the issue is. And he's way down on a lot of people's lists. So there may be a reason, and I think there probably is, other than his play on the field, why he's so low.
Yeah. And was it suspended because he was missing repeated meetings? Yeah. You know, was he partying too late? You have no idea.
He would not be investigating it if he was missing repeated meetings.
Right. So it makes you think it's more than just some buffoonery, you know, like it was a bit more. But like you said, it doesn't seem like it was at the sexual assault or domestic violence level, right? Because that has a way of coming out. If it's work ethic, did they learn their issue? I'm kind of scared if anyone doesn't have good work ethic that Harbaugh really is going to turn away from that player pretty quickly, you know, kind of like a Ben Cleveland situation, where if you don't absolutely love football and kind of live and breathe it, you're just going to be further down the depth chart. So, like you said, it could certainly be blackballed. So a question for you, Ken, if say, for example, they have him blacklisted, right? They're not going to investigate him. And it comes down to Ronnie Stanley, or you got to figure it out in the draft. Right. If the other free agents, they don't think they're a fit, or maybe they're too expensive. What's the highest you're willing to go on Ronnie to keep him here?
I'd like to have Ronnie sign for something on the order of 3 for $57 kind of thing. I think that would, you know, hopefully reflect the current cap situation. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it's 3 for $61 or something, that maybe it ends up being a little higher. But I think. You really, in his case, I think we're going to see probably some extreme leverage used on that contract. It might be adding another year. It might be adding void years to get there. But I think the effective contract that it's underneath that might be like 3 for $57 million.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of what I'm thinking too. If you can keep it shy, just a hair shy of 20, would be nice. Another question that popped into my mind, Ken, from a run blocking perspective, obviously pass blocking is far more important, right? Mm-hmm. When you look at an offensive lineman, whether it's tackle, guard, center, pass blocking is what you're looking for first and foremost. Do you put much stock into the fact that someone like Alaric Jackson was graded as a pretty significant step higher than Ronnie Stanley? From the numbers I was looking at on PFF, they've got Alaric at a 76 run blocking grade and they had Ronnie at 63.5. Does that move the needle at all for you? Or are you still saying, you know, pass blocking is really what I'm looking for? We're good enough at running the ball. I don't know if there's enough marginal benefit here.
I mean, that would be the question. I have not looked at Alaric Jackson and tried to score a couple games of his. So we'll start with that. I think I'd have a bigger concern with some other things. Ronnie Stanley had 15 penalties this last year. Now we know three of those came in that first week in the buffoonish illegal formation crusade. The officials seemed to be on, and he did really clean it up, like most of the offensive linemen did down the stretch. So that's good, but you know, that's a significant concern. That was a fair number of points he lost on that. His missed block percentage is fairly high, 92 out of 1141, as I have it scored or missed. Linderbaum was 95 out of 1148, though. So that's pretty, both those percentages are pretty good, right around 8% each. Three and a half penetrations allowed by Ronnie. So that's a you know, a run plays he allowed for loss. Linderbaum had 6 1/3. So I don't know that I'm really concerned about Ronnie's run blocking all that much. Mm-hmm. I think we saw a better Ronnie Stanley in terms of being out there in space. I'd be potentially excited with the ability of a Alaric Jackson to get out in space and not to get out of space, to move people off the line of scrimmage, right, particularly on combination blocks. So you'd have that, but I don't have a strong feeling about how much better a run blocker that Jackson is than Stanley. He does have the better body for it.
Right. Who on our line really has that ability to move people off the line? Right. Obviously, Falele's got the size and the space, and just by him leaning on you, right, it's going to push. But Rogers, slight. Linderbaum is more athletic and quick. Yep. McCary or Voorhees, they're both more slender, right, in terms of offensive linemen. And then Ronnie is more of like that athletic basketball type. Do you think that having more run blocking mass and power would help, or it's not that important to you overall, even outside of left tackle?
Multiple body types are good, and it's really good to have big, small next to each other for combination block purposes. So the combination of Linderbaum and Fa'alele is a good one, both for leaving Linderbaum or Fa'alele on the back end of a combination block. So if whoever you've got staying behind is going to be more advantaged by the fact that it's a double team, if there's a big and small situation, getting one big body out of two is fine. Mm-hmm. Having multiple big bodies next to each other is diminishing returns. Not like the Eagles aren't doing great with it, but it has diminishing returns, and you pay a lot for the value if you want to keep the athleticism high. So that's how I would feel about it. A big player at left guard would be kind of, to me, the spot that would really solidify things across the board if Stanley to resign. That kind of is obvious, but because, you know, the left guard might be their weakest spot. They have Voorhees there. He's not the ideal fit. Now, if Voorhees could play well, I mean, he's the ideal solution because he's by far the cheapest. But I think they go ahead and they draft a big and mobile left guard in this draft, and I think it really helps. It would help Linderbaum out a lot, and it would help the offensive line as a whole by creating this small, big, small, big, small offensive line across the board.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, from a thinking left guard, from a Patrick McCary standpoint, it seems like he's technically a very good guard, right? Had the penalty issues in the beginning of the season. Seems like you said, the whole team really cleaned up the penalty issues, which was welcome. Just doesn't necessarily seem like his body type fits. If you have Ronnie, McCary, and Linderbaum, you know, you definitely want some beef in the middle of that, like you said, so you can kind of get that alternating benefit.
Yeah, they you know, they had that with Ben Grubbs. They've had that with other guards in the past, with Kalashi Osemele in a big way. So anyway, I'd be hopeful that they can find that guy in the draft. They're very good at picking guys in the mid round. It could be a case where Voorhees has the job for one full year at least. The offense may sputter a little bit because of it, or Voorhees may, you know, turn into a swan right away and be exactly the kind of player you want there. So we'll see how that works out. And then I think it will not hurt them at all to have an extra interior offensive lineman who can really play if they draft a guy and he's ready to go in either 2026 or even 2027.
Yeah. Do you put any stock into Nick Samak? I know that he was, you know, most or injured a little bit in camps. They didn't get to fully see him, I believe. And then he was inactive pretty much the entirety of the season. Were you even able in preseason or in training camp able to see anything that would jump out to you that would think that he could be serviceable, or is that just too hard to judge?
My recollection was that he was okay during the preseason, but honestly, against the players he played against, we wouldn't have anything to go on.
Right.
I don't think we know anything about him. I don't think it would be a big deal in either direction if he were on or off the team. Mm-hmm. But I think the Ravens, they're going to have a lot of turnover anyway. I guess I'd prefer if he were around this next season. So I'm not sure if they go after a center. But it is a possibility, if this is what you're hitting at, that the next guy they get, or the guy they get in the draft, is a guard center combo, a guy they really are looking at that maybe he can play center, and not a bad idea at all.
Right. Do you think those the bevy of sixth round picks that they have, do you think you can get a serviceable offensive lineman at any position, even center guard there? Or do you think that typically you're going to have to go much higher in the draft to get the size, weight, arm length, skill that you're looking for?
So there's a lot of tackles still available in the sixth round who can't play tackle. And there's some guards who didn't do it in college. But the guys you typically have are guys who are converts to the inside, who really have already kind of proven they can't play tackle. And then people move them other places. Ryan Jensen, perfect example. You know, a tackle who moved to guard and then to center, and ended up having all the size you'd ever want out of a center, makes a big, you know, has a big contract, moves on to the Tampa Bay. I think, you know, that kind of a player is available. They're hard as hell to identify, mm-hmm. but the Ravens have proven themselves very good at it in the past. So yeah, I think you can. Rick Wagner, I think, was a fifth round pick. They've had a number of guys they've gotten in the rounds 3, 4, 5, and 6 on the offensive line who've been extremely good. And when they've reached, they don't always get 100% of the value that you expect. Ben Grubbs was a good first round pick at number 29. I'd much rather have Staley, the left tackle, end up with the 49ers, who went at 28.
And didn't you go berserk when that happened, Ken?
Yes, yes, yes. So you know the story well, anyway. So
yeah, I'm the same way when I'm watching the draft. It's do or die. Like, a lot of people, I don't care about the draft. You know, the only thing that matters is the big name players, you know, that you have the jerseys for and such. And I always say, you never know what pick in the fourth round ends up providing you value so far higher than where that person was picked. And when you look at these teams that are really good, you see, wow, they really have harvested, including the Ravens, they've harvested a ton of value from the draft. And that's really where you need to hit it. One more question for you, Ken, if you don't mind. The Jedrick Wills, the much maligned or often maligned, I don't really know the right way to describe him, former left tackle for the Browns, is a free agent. Do you see any possibility of bringing someone that has enough youth and say, hey, we have a good team, we have a good offense, we've got our offensive coordinator, we've got our quarterback, we've got our center, et cetera, right? You have a lot of pieces coming here. If you want to have a successful career in the NFL, you can come here and rebuild your reputation. Do you think that there's anything to that? Or do you think that maybe from what you've seen, his play is so poor that you wouldn't put any stock in bringing him back, essentially?
I mean, he hasn't been in a bad offensive line situation with the Browns.
He's been in a good one, right?
Yeah, Joel Bitonio next to him and Posick, the center, is good as well. It's not a bad situation as well, at all. And if you can't make it work there, and he's had kind of a ski slope of a career in terms of his ability to even stay on the field. I mean, he's been, snaps have gone down pretty much year over year. I wouldn't be excited about him at all. Mm-hmm. If he was to be signed, he'd be like the Josh Jones signing from last year, a second tier, set selection. By the way, I think re-signing Josh Jones is important for this team.
Do you think $5 million a year for Jones? Four?
Yeah, that's the high end of what I'm paying. He still hasn't played, so you know, you've got that going for you that, that, you know, he's got a little bit of time at guard, a little bit of time at tackle, but he hasn't really played very much. So he's still kind of working under the stigma of what happened in Arizona. And, right. and I think you get him reasonably cheap. I think you shouldn't have to pay a lot. I don't think there's anybody looking to pay him. In fact, I think people would be more likely to pay a player like Wills, who's had a fair number of starts at left tackle, over a player like Jones, who doesn't really have any pedigree for NFL success.
Yeah. Jack Conklin excite you on the right side at all? If, say, you can't get anything on the left and you got to move Roger over to the left, is that too many injuries?
He is, as far as I know, he's still signed unless the Browns released him today, but I do expect the Browns to release him.
Yeah.
They have very few avenues to improve cap. The Browns are probably trying to trade him at this point, and he might have just a little bit of trade value. Maybe somebody will give you a six for him. But no, I'm not that excited about Jack Conklin. I know obviously he's an older player now, and I actually don't know what age he is, but I wouldn't be that excited about it.
Yeah, it's tough at the bottom of the barrel with the offensive line, and you know, just the quickest way. I mean, we saw the Alejandro Villanueva, right?
Yeah, still having some value at that age was right. pretty ridiculous. All right, we have to wrap this up. Unfortunately, we've gone 40 minutes. I do really appreciate it. Matt, tell folks where they can talk football with you online.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter, KidRock20.
All right, outstanding. Other folks out there, if you'd like to be on one of these shows, hit me up. DMs are always open on Twitter. If you have a big name in particular, DM me quickly, and I'll move you to the front of the queue in terms of when the thing is put out. We've got some safeties and whatnot that won't be gone in the first couple of days of free agency. Those can wait a few extra days to actually be posted. But if you want one of the big names, I'll need to hear from you pretty quickly. Matt, thanks again for coming on.
All right, Ken, thank you.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Get select Post cereal or Kroger peanut butter for $1.49 each with a digital coupon. And we've lowered prices. Save 15% or more on hundreds of items like Thomas mini bagels, Campbell's SpaghettiOs, and more. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.